Liz turned to me and said she can't sing a lick. And so I started singing in her ear the right notes, and Liz started singing the notes in tune. Right away, every note she sang in tune. I was singing in her ear so she could hear me, and all of a sudden she could sing. And the only reason that I'm here is to raise up your vibration level of the reality of what you are. That's the only reason. We're not gathering to hear a message. We're not gathering to hear words. Because if I were to quiz everybody tomorrow afternoon when we got done, every time I ask a question, everybody freezes. Then I'll say what the answer is and say, oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. And really, with these ears and these eyes, and what Dana said, and I've said many times, is you can't understand this knowledge of freedom. Because to us, freedom means for our mind to be set free. And I'm sorry, but that passage is, we don't have the mind of Christ. The mind is the enemy. That's what you've got to understand. All of Eastern teaching teaches that. It's not taught in the Western Hemisphere at all. So we're not trying to become a different mind. I'm telling you, your mind is your enemy. Your mind that you think is you, which we talked about all last night. You are not your mind. So what are you? You're something way beyond it. This is more true than anything I've said. This just little statement. Follow your heart. Your brain is stupid. But if you think you're your brain, you get offended by the truth. When the truth comes, you want to defend yourself. So I want to say something to you that could sound like it could offend your mind. But I want it to. It needs to offend your mind. It really does. Because we haven't figured out this lie that we believe every morning when our feet hit the ground. I promise you. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to reveal to you that your own mind is your enemy. And the devil is the only one that complains. And God is the only one that suffers. And you're neither one of those. The devil is the only one that complains. Yes, you believing your mind instead of your heart is the devil, and it complains. Mind complains. Come on. Mind complains. I talk to him. I've told you, I tell him to shut the hell up. He torments me day and night. And I've quit believing in the son of a bitch. I don't believe him anymore. It was so great what Dana was saying about the mind wants to spin reality into thinking that your mind understands it, and the mind can't understand it. The mind can only understand judgment. The mind can only realize right and wrong. That's all it can do. It can only analyze. It's just a computer. It's not you, so don't get offended by it. Don't defend your mind. You need to understand. And God is the only one that suffers. Well, we've defined what the word God means. It means to control. God has always meant control in the Christian religion, in the Eastern religion. God has always meant the desire to control. Always. Dean says it every day 100 times. The desire to be God is your idea of what you want to control, and it always suffers. Don't you want to not suffer? Wouldn't you like to go through a day and just not suffer? Huh? Come on. Everybody in their heart desires to not suffer. But our mind's running around trying to fix all the things we're judging all the time. Correcting, constantly correcting. So there's this life energy. Nobody knows where it comes from. Well, how could you know where it comes from when it's everywhere and it's everything all the time? It's not a thing. But there's this life energy. I love that word, life energy. And Joanne Barthel and John Willicks and I were talking about it on Facebook. And they were chatting a little bit, and I chimed in a little bit, and I want to read that to you. Joanne said, "That's it. But I needed to figure it out by myself." Your mind didn't figure it out. Somehow it came welling up within her. I knew I was indeed the one who was the action figure, but the confusion was due to thinking that there was some God out there. Now, if you think there's a God out there, you think he is sitting up there and he's really disappointed in how things are going. But he's helpless. We've believed in this impotent being that's sad and suffering. But it's you. I'm telling you, it's you. Sad and suffering. It's you believing your mind. We haven't figured that out. You're the only God that there ever was, crying over the world, looking out and saying, "Woe is me. Look at all this trouble." And I really believe that we've listened to the stories about Jesus so much that we believe them. But they were stories of men talking about a man who they interpreted through their mind. The Bible is a book, just like any other book, of stories about a man's interpretation of what they heard and saw. That's why it's not accurate. That's why it's not, and it's not supposed to be. It doesn't mean that it's a big lie. We just have to get it in the right context, like when you read any book. That's why Robert's so good at it. He can take you and your Bible, and you're sitting there going, "Man, that's none of that lines up with each other." Well, they're all different books. And we've been taught to believe that somehow it's all holy and synchronized, and there's no contradiction in it. Well, it's a total misconception. There's nothing wrong with the books by themselves, but every one of them's talking about some woman holding to onto a guy's pecker. You know, and the other one's saying, "Go out and kill all the babies." Really? Come on now. I mean, it's crazy. It's totally crazy what we've believed. And we still got a hangover over all that stuff. It's still lingering because we've been brought up with it. And so Joanne says, "There was confusion due to thinking that there was some God. However, I came to realize the life force is having its way. But somehow it's living through the flesh. It gives me so much freedom. It gives me pure bliss." Well, now her heart's talking. And John says, "I like the term life force, but with the slight exception that force could imply an agenda or the manipulation of something by something." That's what the mind likes to do. It likes to take and twist things. And then I chimed in and I said, "Well, John, it's the closest we can get with words." I said, "But it's so much more than we could ever think, because that which is pure does not think. That which is totally pure is not a thought. It doesn't think. It doesn't come from you trying to figure it out. That's why you know you're living from the mind when, just like Dana was sharing this morning, you're always trying to figure it out. There's always a problem to deal with somewhere. That's never your heart. And it's never where you get direction. It's why I love when I can feel, to me, reality is a feeling that comes from something beyond the senses. It's an intuition. It's like, well, I don't know what it is, but something's just not feeling right. I don't know what it is. I can't really complain about it, but something's just not right about the direction that we're going here. And that's what I was telling them. Thinking happens, but you know it's not your mind, and it's wonderful. I've seen this dimension of light with these eyes when I was in Hong Kong 2 years ago. I was sitting, and the revelation of incorporeal world poured over me. And I'm telling you, I was looking out a skyscraper 34 stories tall over the beautiful valley of Kowloon Bay in Hong Kong, one of the most beautiful scenic places you could see. And I could see through the buildings. I couldn't believe it. I could see the landscape on the other side of the buildings. It became transparent because there was no judgment. I saw this. And I just sat there, I'll bet you, for a half an hour, not saying a word, feeling this thing of incorporeality. It was just indescribable. And we try to attach words for it, but almost all the mystics of the world saw this. And the reason I know it's true is because they all came back with the same revelation. There wasn't inconsistency. There wasn't contradiction. They all saw the same thing. This is how you know you're listening to your heart. It's never looking at something and just trying to decide whether it's right or wrong. Ever. It's a totally different dimension. Now, I love sci-fi. I just always, as a kid, I pretended to sell magazines, and somehow I ended up with this black and white TV in my bedroom out of nowhere. Yes. Right? I'm going to tell you how I got it. Doesn't matter. That's how when I started to realize how my shit stinks. One of those scams, okay? Somehow a TV appeared, right, Mom? Because we weren't supposed to have a TV. But back then, you couldn't have color TVs unless they were big. The only color TVs were huge, right? This is that time. So all of a sudden, this 13-inch black and white TV appeared in my bedroom, and every night we watched Star Trek. That was the only reason. And we'd have the volume down all the way so that Mom wouldn't hear it. And she would still, Mike and Calvin, you go to bed right now and turn that TV off. I was fascinated, though, about this imagination of what something different would be as a little boy. Just totally mesmerized by it. And there's this program called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Has anybody ever seen it? It's a Marvel production. And I just like it. It's just wonderful. And I'm going to describe to you what the feeling is, the best I can with words, to tell you about this incorporeal world, because Emma and Fitz have become lovers, and they're wacko, extremely off-the-chart physicists that are scientists as well in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They always solve all the complicated problems, these two, and they became lovers. And Emma and Fitz were together, and they went through this wormhole and came back with this man in one of the episodes. And they discovered in the next episode that this was their son. They weren't even married yet. They'd never been married. And they went out then in the next episode to do this crazy, dangerous thing. And Emma looked at Fitz and said, Fitz, we have absolutely nothing to fear because we have a son. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can hurt us. Nothing can end our life. Nothing can take us out. That's what it feels like to live in this incorporeal world. There's no more fear of death. The end of the wisdom in the Bible always said, and the last enemy was what? Death. Why do we want to judge? Why do we want to control? Because we think it's the end of something. There's never an end to anything. Every moment is the beginning of eternity. Every moment in your heart right now. So don't defend the devil that's complaining about everything, and certainly quit defending your God, because he always suffers. He's always crying and hanging on a cross. That's all bullshit. No one's ever needed forgiving from anything except the fact that you're not who you think you are. Just one thing is it. It ends everything. And it was so beautiful to see this. So Emma and Fitz found freedom, didn't they? They realized that they were indestructible, that they couldn't die. Have we ever had that feeling very long? Huh? I mean, be honest, okay? We really have got to be honest with ourselves. Because I've been scared to death. Last year, some things happened, and it's just scared the living daylights out of me. Why? Because I'm afraid of dying. But no one dies. No one's ever died. And tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to start to talk about that incorporeal dimension that's only beyond one thing, and that's your mind. It's not an afterlife you go to. It's something you can feel and experience right now. It's not coincidental that Robert wrote a song about the way of freedom, because he was copying a Facebook post I made. And I know he did it on purpose. Because he's, and I really, you know, I know Robert isn't trying to be humble in a fake way when he says, you know, I'm a much better speaker than him. Because the man is an unbelievable speaker, and he's an unbelievable poet, or I wouldn't have him come. The way of life is this freedom that Emma and Fitz felt. They just felt a little bit of it. Tomorrow I'm going to read you some quotes of an actual narrative of someone from the next dimension. And see, I don't even like to say next dimension. I don't even like to say afterlife. But there's some, I'm led to read and follow things not from what my mind's telling me to do. I know when I'm told to read something by others, or when I find something, I know I'm supposed to go there because there's some nugget there I'm supposed to understand and share with you. That's where all of this comes. Because if I try to think about what I'm going to share, I get very scared and nervous. Because I just don't want to do that. There's been too much of that. So it comes from a place that I can't describe to you. And that's what we're talking about, this way of freedom that Emma and Fitz just got a glimpse of. So they went out, not with arrogance, but with assurance that they're going to have this son someday that came back as a fully grown adult and said, you know, I'm your son. You should have seen their jaws hit the ground. Wow, I know that. I know you're my son. He's like 30 years old. They had not gotten married yet. They were just talking about it. Amazing. It was you should look it up. It's really good. Following the way of life is always revealed in each moment, and it's always clear. When you realize you have no will of your own, time and space disappear. Spontaneous life shows up, and it's seen just like floating down a river. Your mind says you need to try to control. That's God. But there's never been a you that did anything. So trying to control is why there is suffering. That's why it's only a God that can suffer. That's why only God can suffer. If you're suffering, you're just trying to be God. You just desire to control. I'm in charge. I will be like the Most High. The devil and God are really synonymous with each other. Dean said it 3 years ago, and I'm not kidding you. I felt like I had to go change my britches when I read that. That the serpent was God, the God that deceived Eve. I'm going, they're the same thing? Wow. I go, you can't say that. You can't say things like that, Dean. Now it's being said all the time because we're starting to understand what that means. There's not something outside of you that you're separate from. There isn't anything out there, guys. There's no ghosts. There's no devils out there. There's no spiritual beings following you around with pitchforks trying to trip you up. Life just is happening. And it's not against you or for you, because there's no you. So when you disappear, when Emma and Fitz disappeared of this fear of life, wow, there was freedom. Beautiful. That's a feeling that you have. That's a feeling that they had. It's a feeling I had. Your mind says you need to try to control, but there was never a you that did anything. So trying to control is why we suffer. If you're suffering, it means there's some, look back behind it a couple layers. There's something you want that you don't have. So you're not satisfied. So you're trying to manipulate in some way. You're trying to influence. You're the woodpecker out in the redwood forest making noise. And I mean, you just go a few trees away and you can't hear it no more. But somehow you think you're accomplishing something and you know, sweat blood for it. And you get all done. Whew. And tomorrow I'm going to read you stuff. Just the words of it were just amazing. And I know it's just scratching the surface. We struggle to paddle from shore to shore when the river of life is carrying you exactly where you need to go. You can't go the wrong way. You can't make a mistake. You never made a choice in the past, and you will never make a choice in the future. So there can be no mistakes. Now that's freedom. That's what Emma and Fitz realized. We can't screw this up. We can't do it wrong. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Is that freedom? Nobody believes it with their mind. The devil's shaking in his boots, and God's trying to make some Ten Commandments of how to get there. So freedom can begin to overtake you, and you flow from one moment to the next as everything is done through you without any effort on your part. And I'm pretty sure that's all in the song. You put all that in there. Those are beautiful words. It's just the beginning of realizing this life that's eternal. Now, eternal life isn't a long span of time. It's the absence of time. Yeah. Right. It's the absence of fear. It's the absence of struggle. It's absent of complaints. It's absent of trying to control. That's freedom. To wake up and have your feet hit the floor and say, you know, I can't do this wrong today. Don't ever use it as an excuse to defend yourself, because that doesn't work. That's just the devil again, trying to defend himself. Never, don't ever use it as an excuse. You're not even really on a journey. There's no you to be on a journey. Life is spontaneous. And living spontaneously, time and space do not exist for you. For you are living fully every second. Every second you exist. You do not exist as anything special. You do not exist as a man or a woman. You simply exist. And in that spontaneity, you become the universe. Well, if there's no such thing as space, where's the universe? Inside you. Wow. There's no limits. Why do you think they can look out? We talked about this when we were down in Franklin. We ran a little video about the Hubble telescope that decided to focus. It didn't focus on the black hole because the telescope said there was a black hole. So the scientists deliberately pointed it to the black hole, and they had figured out how to turn the Hubble up at that time, because it's old. The Hubble telescope, you guys, is old. They just let it sit there on this black hole, and after a couple weeks, they came back and discovered a universe within a universe. There was more stars and galaxies in the black hole than they'd ever found before, just pointing in one place. And there's a billion places to point the telescope. What does that tell you? It's never ending. There's no end to it. So how could all of that be inside you? Because there's no such thing as space. It's just as important to realize that as there's no such thing as time. So when you find yourself complaining about this little, the woodpecker's up there pounding and he's bitching about this and that, and then he's suffering, he's just not looking out through the Hubble telescope and seeing how wonderful and vast life is. It's just limited to this little bitty gnat. Wow. I don't want to live that way. I want to live every moment when my feet hit the ground, realizing that life is endless without space and time. Just even a little glimpse of it, I'm telling you, was wonderful. Just a little glimpse is crazy wonderful. To get that feeling inside you that nothing can go wrong and you can't make a mistake. You can bark about it all you want. You can try to upgrade the illusion. But how far are you going to get? Really? You really want to spend your energy doing that? I mean, it's pretty futile, isn't it? You remember the Bourne? What was it on Star Trek? What was they called? The Borg. The Borg. The Borg. We are one. What was their saying all the time? I can't even remember now. Yeah, resistance is futile. Resistance is futile. Well, I got some Trekkies in here. All right. You are the spontaneity of the universe. But as soon as you break away from it, what do you become? An individual, once again. A personality, an identity. Now, these are the benchmarks that show you that you're trying to bark at life. You're rah, 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 rah. You can't even begin to glimpse it until you're still. Because it's a feeling that you can't hear when the mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. And then as soon as you hook your voice to it, you can't hear it either. So that's the ears that can't hear and the eyes that can't see. You become a body and a mind, and you see others as bodies and minds. But when you're living in that spontaneity, there's no space there. And there's no room for anything specific. We don't ever lock on to anything. We don't grab a hold of anything that comes to us. And you become absolute freedom. That freedom is not for yourself. For if you could know freedom, then it's not freedom. There is no one left to know anything when you're living spontaneously. The knower has been transcended, and that's the words of Robert Adams. Those aren't even my words. There's an Eastern sage that lived in Sedona, Arizona. What I just read to you was Robert Adams. And I've said every word without ever reading him. And all of a sudden, I'm reading him and I said, there it is. It's true. Someone else has said it besides my brain. And so then I began to really embrace it. I realized, well, this is universal truth. This isn't Mike Nevin's truth. This is universal truth. And then I read it in Papaji, and I read it in Nisargadatta, Maharaji, and I read it in Ramana, and there's a countless other Eastern mystics that left their religion just like we've left Christianity. And they all said that our view of the world is an illusion. Our judgment of the world is an illusion. I love Robert Adams. It's amazing. So we haven't got much of a glimpse of this spontaneous explosive energy. Now, why do I say it's explosive? Because it's perpetually, it's like lava flowing out of a volcano. It never stops. That's where life is, to be right there and to realize everything that's coming is for you. It's never against you. It's expressing itself every second. It's not connected to some large brain in the sky that's trying to control itself. That's really what we think, that something's controlling something, that something created something. That's all Western theology. It's theism. Well, it's really perverted theism because nobody's a theist. Everybody has said in the past that they believe in a God, but we've been polytheists at best. Because every God's different for everyone. So there's no theism there. That's all twisted and perverted too. Go to school to study theology, the study of the God, and everybody's the God is different. So it's all twisted. It's all wrong. So how could the spontaneous energy that's everything all the time, how could it try to control itself? How could everything control something? Right? It's impossible. There's nothing to control. There's not, let's just control this little bit. That's the God of religion that's trying to control this and that, complain about this and that, okay? There's absolutely nothing to control. You're only love, there's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it. And unconditional love has no rules. You've got rules. Your mind has rules. Your mind has prejudice. Your mind's a hypocrite. But it's not you. That's not really you. So give it up. Try this. Is there life on earth? No. There's no life on earth. All there is life. Everywhere, wherever you go. If life came to earth to find life, it wouldn't find anything because there's not something to find. There isn't a thing. So there's this incorporeal. Boy, we had trouble talking about that last time, didn't we, Robert? That came from Herb Fitz. You're back in the 50s. Can you believe this kind of truth was hovering around in the 50s? And my mind looked at it and started bitching. Well, how come I didn't read it? I should have come out of the womb when I was 56 with the book of Herb Fitz in my hand. Well, I didn't find out about it until about 10 years ago. So I started bitching about that. Woe is me. I lived all my life in hell. Well, how can you know if you've come out of hell unless you've been there? Huh? So that's what we're trying to do, really, is find out what life isn't. That's all we're doing. We're just uneducating ourselves. We're just trying to get the mind close enough to brush up to the heart so it can realize reality. Because it's all there. So, when you live in this incorporeal universe as the incorporeal man, first, you're accepting your neighbor as an incorporeal man, no matter who he is or what he's doing. You accept everyone as incorporeal. And when you do this, you're fulfilling the divine law of love. There's no prejudice. There's no hypocrisy. There's absolutely no judgment. Everyone is the incorporeal at their heart. Everyone. And that's what you see in everyone. The same thing that you have seen with yourself. This one really hit me when I first read this. This is Herb Fitch. He said, you don't run your business anymore. Hallelujah. Out comes the marching band. I didn't want to run that damn thing anyways. It was tormenting me. It's hard. You don't run your business anymore? It's like O.J. Simpson, you don't have to run through airports anymore because you've got Hertz.
You're dating yourself, buddy.
I know it. Anybody remember that commercial? Yeah. Oh, my, I'm not dating myself. Look, just about everybody. You mean I don't have to run through airports anymore? Huh? You mean I don't have to run my business? You don't run your marriage anymore? You don't run your household anymore? The spirit of love in you lives itself through you and guides you through the world. Well, let me just give you a secret. When this is happening, usually your damn mouth shut. Okay, normally? There isn't a lot of this going on. Now, I love to death my wife. And when she's in the house, I love to travel with her best of all because she's a wonderful traveling companion. But when she's in the home, what's she doing all the time? Fussing. Fuss, 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 fuss. And I can't stop it. You know? I can't. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But to some degree, it's pretty futile. I said, you know, honey, you're surrounded by help. You know, I said, there's all these women coming that can cook, and then we've got a backup of Rebecca, who is a chef, and has volunteered to do all the cooking. Okay? So you got like four people that are good cooks, and then there's Rebecca. So you don't have to worry about food. Oh, okay. You mean I don't have to worry about food? Yep, you don't have to worry about food. You don't have to run your business. You don't have to run your marriage. You can't really anyway. Okay, I mean you want to. But guess what? You suffer. You suffer. That's why nobody can live together anymore. I mean, some of the, you know, I'm sad when I hear about these breakups of these people together that are supposed to be lovers and, you know, and I just an example, so don't hang me up. But I mean, when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up, I was sad about it. I said, come on, they stayed together, they got all these kids. You know, well, I guess now it's a huge big fight. Yeah. Well, why? Because they're both trying to control. Yeah. That's why. Because neither one of them know what real love is. And real love has nothing to do with forgiving your asshole mate. Okay? It's got nothing to do with that. That's just tolerance. That's just God. Well, I guess I'll put up with their sorry ass. Guess I'll forgive them, bastard. Oh, really? That's no fun. Go to teeth. I forgave him 70 times 7 today, the jackass. Then he owes you something, right? Because you forgave him. What a web we've weaved. Isn't it insane? Everybody knows. Everybody raise. It's safe to raise your hand in here, okay? Because I'm telling on myself. You know? Just like I give you an example of my wife running around being a busybody. If I don't like her running around being a busybody, that's my problem. You know? So I have to let her go. You know, and I can't believe one woman and a dog can use this whole house. It blows my mind. There is no dust anywhere in this house because of inactivity. I'm going in each room going, wow. Because I'm sort of a minimalist, you know. When I had a model home and there was nothing out in the kitchen, I had a kitchen 50% bigger than this one because I sold kitchens. So I made it really big. There was nothing out on the counters, not even a fork. And I had Lean Cuisine in the freezer. I was a bachelor. I mean, it got dusty, right? You know, because I was never down there. I mean, the thing I like about it is this place gets used. Yeah. I just think I need, you know, some more bodies in here. So it's nice to have you all come and mess things up a little bit, you know. So I feel like we're like using it, you know.
We're trying to do better.
Okay, do yeah. Good. So Herb continues, we begin to turn from this sense of mortality, the mask of mortality is what he's talking about. We begin to turn from it as wrong. Not right and wrong, just it's a totally wrong philosophy, he's saying. We begin to turn from this sense of mortality to the awareness of immortality now. Well, a feeling of immortality now is a sense that there's no time or space, not just words. It's a sense that there's no such thing as time and space. I'm going to take you to the other side of this realm tomorrow and read you some live stuff. Okay? It's amazing. I never believed such a writing existed. And I believe it because I didn't go looking for it and I didn't dream it up. It's amazing. And you know what? They said, the same thing I'm teaching you was true. And I'm going, wow, we think we're onto something. There is an inconsistency in it. The same thing as understanding immortality now is going to be true when your toe quits wiggling. So wouldn't you like to get a glimpse of it now? Huh? And not have worry or fear about anything like Emma and Fitz. Just go around and say, I'm Emma. I'm Emma. Emma has no fear. Why? Not because she's an arrogant jackass and starts jumping out of airplanes. I'm not saying that, am I? Is that what I'm saying? There's freedom and joy there that can't be stopped. It's indestructible by the mind. The mind can't screw it up because if you can't make a mistake and right away the responsibility group gets up, well, you're teaching irresponsibility. Well, I flunked that class. I got a double F in it. The one that says you're supposed to be responsible, I've never passed. I was never responsible as a little boy. I was irresponsible as I could be. And I got my ass beat all the time and deserved it. I got the hickory switch over and over. And my dad always looked at me and said, you know, I really loved you, but it didn't work. The switch didn't change a thing. Because as soon as the stung wore off, I went right back out and did the same thing. So there's some sense of irresponsibility in the right way of being the right way. Not running around trying to control. I don't have the 10 laws of responsibility tattooed to my ass. Whoop, let me check my list here. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. I never thought that way. I was just gone. I remember one time I got it bad. It's like I did not want to go home because I've told you a dozen times my mom made me do things. If I went home, well, I didn't want to clean the house and make my bed and feed the dog and all that stuff. So I would hide in the bush as a kindergartner. When I got off the bus, I'd scurry and hide behind the bush because she wasn't quite down there yet. And here comes the car to get me. She's looking around, can't find me anywhere. Michael Olin! Michael Olin Nevins! You had to honk her off, right? Was a five-year-old is lost? I didn't answer. She finally gave up. Hours later, my dad would come looking for me. What did you think they were doing? You think they were honked off? A five-year-old? I was 5 miles away out at a lake talking to a guy on a dock fishing. Because that's what I want. I was an adventurer. I wanted to go find out what life was about. It's okay to do that now, okay? I mean, leave a note next time, okay, for the mom, all right? Mom, I'll be back. But you know what I'm saying, right? You following me? There's some sense to irresponsibility that's freedom. Because there's no rules anymore. We're way past this responsibility thing, way past it. I'm going to talk about it a little more, but immortality now. The spiritual universe is all around us and it's inside of us. It cannot be perceived by the senses, the spiritual universe, but it's everywhere. Without ends. Only your mind can restrict you. So it's why the corporeal man has always been called dead and dying. It's why it's called that in Scripture. What did he say? Let the dead bury the dead. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Let the dead bury the dead. One of the most unpopular statements ever. Why? Because we're asleep or prodigal or unenlightened. Well, the brain can never be enlightened. There's no such thing as an enlightened brain. There's no such thing as an enlightened human being. It's impossible. You can't enlighten the mind. When this starts to take you over, you become a responder to this beacon of light. And it's like this big home. It's like this vibration. It's like this noise. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And it's never wrong. It's an energy. It's a life energy. It's a life force. And it's not a source. And it's not a God. And it's not something that does things to you. Well, bless God, I'm elite. So it's going to do something for me today. We still get a feeling that when things go right in a row, that we're being blessed from something. You still get that feeling. I still get that feeling. I don't hit my kneecap with a hammer and don't stub my toe, or I cut my finger the other day slicing a tomato. Well, I must have done something wrong. That feeling follows you around. I'm not telling you a lie here. Let's sort of react that way, don't we? Yeah. Well, shit. Now what did I screw up? Life is life. It's everything all the time. So we get, we tend to get separated from this spirit of unconditional love all the time by our mind. Unconditional means there's no rules. So there's nothing to complain about anymore. There's no rules for anybody. So don't drag the whole world in and try to manage it. It doesn't need it. You've got your plate full. And if you don't believe me, listen to last night's message. Your plate's full, okay? I'm telling you. Your plate is full. Divine consciousness is who you are, but the five senses has fooled us into thinking we are conscious. But some of us have had the vision, this vibrational intuition, where we saw something, but not with our eyes. We heard something, but not with our ears. Well, what is it? It's a voice that's calling us out of our sleep, where we begin to move into this awareness of the incorporeal universe here and now. The incorporeal universe is beyond anything you can imagine with the mind. I wished I could cram everything that I wanted to talk to you about in a sentence, because I want to reach into tomorrow and say some things to you, but you'll have to wait, okay? but I've read some words that weren't words to me. I've heard things that weren't hearing. I've seen things that aren't seeing. And all I could do was what? Experience it myself. I wished I could have taken you all with me to see what I saw when the... You know, it's happened many times, and it doesn't surprise me anymore very much. But when it first happened, I'm going, wow, what is it? I couldn't tell you what it was. But it was a feeling where... It was like the craziest perpetual orgasm you could ever have. That never ended. That's what it felt like, okay? That's what it felt like. It took me out of this world. That's all I can tell you. That's as close as I can come to it. We haven't got time to think about what's wrong with something. Do you know what I mean? It overtakes you. That's just the beginning of what it's like. So there's a voice calling you out of your sleep, out of the dream of the mind that the mind creates, where we begin to move into this now. So we're not really impotent then. We feel impotent. I'm trying to tell you you're impotent because the mind, you know, reacts to that, right? Well, he says I'm impotent. I'm a smart man. Well, bullshit. We're all woodpecking at the redwood forest, okay, when we think that way. This has nothing to do with intelligence. This has nothing to do with your ATC score. Nothing to do with it. We're always helpless in the sea of human disturbances. There's always some cause. Always. Never ends. There's no joy there. So, Joel then pipes up and he says, as long as there remains concern for personal good, for anything, as long as there remains concern for personal good, security, health, or peace of mind, there is that which must die daily. In order that one may be reborn of the spirit into the realization of immortality now. No one, if I could corner you when you weren't paying attention and trying to be a smartass, no one would understand that they have immortality. It's the lie you believe every day when you wake up, that you're mortal, that something can harm you, that something can take you out, that something's wrong. That's all the belief of the mortal mind. But if you find this, if you get a sniff of it, I'm telling you, it'll never leave you. I've sniffed it. I've just seen a little bit of it. You know, and then it was gone. That experience I had in Hong Kong, I wished I could have videotaped it somehow. I wish I could show you and prove to you that it happened. But it was just for me. And it dissolved all this sense, this tomfoolery and this crap that, you know, was going on with my mind. And I said, wow, what is this? It's the way of life, and it's not trying to fix something or correct something or change anything. Now, this freedom, reborn of the spirit, into immortality. Now, Emma and Fitz saw it, didn't they? When they realized this, it happened when they realized this was their son. They weren't married yet, and all of a sudden, their 30-year-old son was sitting next to them, and they knew it. They didn't have to prove it. That energy of their presence of their son there created into them this feeling of freedom. And as long as they saw him, it never went away. So, Nothing's ever happened in the past, but your mind goes there every day, trying to manipulate the future with the projection of our memories. So living in that fear, we move on each day, missing the beauty and safety of the moment. Ah. There's only safety in the moment. Safety? Really? There's a place of perfect safety where nothing can harm you? Really? Safety in the moment? Wow, doesn't that sound cool? Huh? The only place there's safety is in the moment. Right now. And now. And now. And now. And the mind tries to drag you back in by this concept that you're a mind and a body back into what? Your memories. You'd have, I've said over and over and over and over again, if I put you on a deserted island and wiped your mind out, you'd have no fear. So where do fears come from? Hello? Thank you, Connie. Fears can only come from the memory. Frustration can only come from your memory. Only. It's only coming from the mind, which has always been in every religion the devil. Even in Christianity, the devil was, Satan was called the mind. We asked Jesus, he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." That's an awful thing to say to your best friend. There's only safety in the moment. But wanting this moment to be different is hell. Where's that come from? The mind. The mind. Wake up. Come out of your sleep. You are not your mind. You're not your mind, guys. Quit running around protecting it and defending it and try to think you're special and you want people to love you and you want people to be nice to you because you think you're something. You think your shit don't stink. You know? Huh? That's the only reason I said it, is just to wake you up. Do a great big, don't use the toilet one time and lay it out on the living room floor and see what happens. Huh? So wanting this moment, so here's a good clue right here, okay? Let's sit here a little bit. There's safety in the moment, but wanting this moment to be different is hell. But it's the only place you can find safety. It's the only place you can find freedom. It's the only safe place in the universe. And it never will, this will never change, guys. I'm giving you a sneak peek into some, I'm going to give you a witness and a testimony from someone who experienced it in a way that's beyond words. And they said that. They said, what I'm describing to you isn't even close to what I'm feeling. So where do we find the safety in the moment? It's got to be the secret place where there's no judgment, doesn't it? I say it's inside you, and that just means it's locked away in your little treasure box, okay, that you've got with your treasures. It's hidden. Nobody can see it but you. It's locked away inside this little box, and your key is to realize that there's no you. There's no you that needs to be protected. When Emma and Fitz realized this thing, their identity disappeared. So our memory was talking to us all the time. isn't it? Wow. Won't shut up. The thing's a really fancy, multi-layered computer, isn't it? It's very sneaky. It's very tricky. It's very complicated. There's no place like home. And home is the safety in the moment that you find. And click your heels together. There's no place like home, and it always feels safe. Boom, there's no place like home. And it always feels joyful. So guess what? If you're not feeling joy, you're not home, are you? You're pretending to be God, and Satan's blabbing away. One of the two. Just mark it down. Some call it the fifth dimension, but it's the safest place you can find. I've seen it written about as a fifth dimension, beyond the senses. Well, there's the thing about it is that it's always joyful and gentle, right? That's the feeling. And it never feels heavy or restricted, okay? There's never a heaviness. There's no rules. So this is spontaneous life. It's the spontaneous life of unconditional love. It's not love. The word love is just used just as much as God. I was going to change that sign up there and put a little sticker over it that said, "You hear the whisper of love," but it's, you might as well just leave it God, because love, the word love's turned into God too. There's just a love movement, but the people that say they're love all the time still bitching. So that's not unconditional love. Then there's that devil word called responsibility again. Comes up. Here it comes. Well, what about responsibility? You mean that they can get away with this over there? I'm telling you what, guys, I don't have time for them or they. I don't. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I got my plate full. I've got a huge fan next to my pile of shit. Just to try to keep the odor away from me, you know, and it's a full-time job to keep adjusting that thing. I need a courtesy flush, you know.
That was the best line.
It's a good one. We are never the originators of anything. I'm starting to get dangerous to the responsibility people. We're not the originators of anything. Including your thoughts. Really? Really? That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. You are not even the thinker. Why? Tell me why, please. Somebody tell me why. Because you're not the mind. You're not the mind. Hello, come in. Wake up. You're not the mind. That's why. I'm not saying you don't think. I'm saying quit owning your thoughts. We aren't smart enough to come up with all that shit. I'm telling you right now. You ain't smart enough. You ain't. Ain't's a good word there. Let it go. You're killing yourself. Really. You know. All of you that's older than 5 years old know. When you're young, you think you can conquer the world. I remember I had a bumper sticker that said, "Hire a teenager while they still know everything."
I got
bumpers out. Yeah. They get a little bit of intelligence going, and man, they think they know everything. But the mind tricks us into believing we are in charge and loves the word responsibility. It's its favorite word. The mind. Free will is another one. They're very, very dark illusions. They're hard to see. So, let me tell you about my world. Okay, there's no accidents in it, in my world. When you're a lover of what is, your suffering's over. So there's only life, and it's a chaotic explosion of unconditional love energy. Always. It's always friendly. Always. It's always friendly. But our mind doesn't think so. See, it zoops right in. Oh no, questions. Reality. Here's the perfect definition of reality. Now it's long, okay? It's pretty long. It's not simple. That's why we haven't discovered it. But reality is just the way it is. It is what it is. That's reality. Exactly as it is. Every moment. And it's always kind. The safety in the moment's always kind. And it's not about trying to be kind. It's ask yourself, why be unkind? Because it's hard to be kind. It is. The brain, the mind, doesn't like to be kind. But reality is always kind. So it's a feeling again, isn't it? Beyond the senses. It's our story about reality that blurs our vision. It leads us to believe that there's injustice in the world. Now what's happening now? I'm not saying there isn't now. Okay. It's okay to be a woodpecker, all right, for a little while, but at some point you're going to wear your damn beak out. Right? It's okay. I'm not saying you ain't doing nothing, but I'm just saying you're going to get wore out. Because there's a million causes, but there's only one place where it's safe and peaceful and joyful. And that's beyond the cares of the world. So don't try to take the whole world in and bitch about it. It's too much, guys. It's too much. It's never going to happen. It's never going to change. Everybody's life has to be where it's at. That's where they've got to be. Don't bitch about it. Quit complaining about it. You've got your plate full. Your shit stinks. Manage your own shit. Okay? That's what I'm saying. So everything that happens to others is their reality, and they need it to be just exactly what it is, just like you do. Reality is what it is. Deal with it. And stop believing some God's causing it because you didn't do something right 20 years ago or 10 minutes ago. Right? You move away from reality when you believe that there's a legitimate reason for suffering. So when we believe there's a... This is, the mystics even used to teach this. The Book of Martyrs teaches it. It's wrong. I never thought I'd say that. But when we believe there's a legitimate reason for suffering, we become the champion of suffering. That's the way to truth, is to suffer. Bullshit. It's bullshit. I'm not saying there's no suffering, but it's not the way to freedom. So if we believe that suffering is legitimate and it's the cause in your life, It's totally insane. It's just insane. It just creates another big mound you have to deal with. Suffering, the only reason we suffer at all is because of the mind. Your own mind and how you process it is the absolute only reason for suffering. That's why God, the desire to control, always suffers. So I'm going to close by reading you another Robert Adams quote that talks about, and I'm using the word you, but it's not the you think you are, okay? That's sort of hard. We're just using words here, but this you isn't you, okay? This isn't the you or yo-yo or whatever, yeah. It's a true blue you. He says, you are life passing through your body, passing through your soul. And once we discover that, not with logic, not with intellect, but because you can feel that life, he says, wow, I get goosebumps. Because that's what I felt in Hong Kong. It was a feeling. You find out that you are the force that makes the flowers open and close. That makes the hummingbird fly from flower to flower. You find out that you are in every tree and that you're in every animal and vegetable and rock. You are that force that moves the wind and breathes through your body. The whole universe is a living being that is moved by that force, and that is what you are. You are life.